thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
I want you to write this on your notes. Grab your notes out of your bulletin there, out of your update. Pull those out. Here's what I discovered when I looked at the scriptures. You'll see it on the screen. If joy is a pursuit, then hope is a journey. If joy is a pursuit, then hope is a journey. And what I want us to get a hold of this morning is that hope isn't an instant thing. It's not a temporary thing. It's a journey. The process of discovering hope actually happens on a journey. And what I want you to do, I want you to open your Bibles. And we often suggest you open your Bibles. We often say, hey, if you'd like to follow around, follow along, open your Bibles. I'm going to ask you kindly, open your Bibles. If you have a smartphone or a tablet, open up your electronic Bible. If you didn't bring a Bible with you, grab the one in the seat pocket in front of you. And the reason is, we're going to walk through five verses right in a row. And we're just going to walk and see what God's Word says about hope. Where sometimes we bounce around topically and use all of God's Word comprehensively to get a point that applies to our life. But today we're going to walk verse by verse through five verses and see what God says about hope. So I want you to follow along. I think it's going to be really helpful. My heart today is share how do we find hope on this journey. If joy is a pursuit, then hope is a journey. But let me start by defining hope. Take a look at this on your screen. This is what I found. Hope is this: looking forward with desire, reasonable confidence, and expectation. Looking forward with desire, reasonable confidence, and expectation. What I also found when I researched some of the definitions of hope was there was this dictionary that had this like caveat way down below that said there's an archaic definition, meaning that we used to think of hope this way, and so we're still going to tag it in the definition, but we don't think of it as much this way. It's archaic in its thinking. I would say it applies to our lives today. Hope is also this. It's a feeling of trust. And so when we apply hope, it's more than just optimism. It's more than just positivity. Hope with trust, hope with confidence and expectation leads us to action. Hope is not just a feeling, but it's an action put to that feeling as well. And so I know in a room this large, there are all sorts of people in all sorts of moments and seasons of life. And so some of you are thinking, man, life is good right now. I haven't even been thinking about hope. Like, hope isn't even on the top 25 of things I'm thinking about right now. Well, that's how hope is. When we have hope, we don't feel it. It's kind of like a balloon with helium. A balloon should have helium. It should float. It's natural when we see a balloon floating. But when hope is gone, it's deflating. It's debilitating. It's like that wrinkled, withered balloon that can't get off the ground. See, when we don't have hope, when we find ourselves at a place of hopelessness, we can become paralyzed. And so some of you are thinking, man, I'm hopeful right now. Things are good. Some of you are thinking, man, I don't even know if I could stretch out and grab a hold of hope if it was sitting right in front of me. Like, it took everything within me to get here this morning. I am at the bottom of hopelessness. And what I want to say to us this morning is that I believe God's going to speak to all of us about this idea of hope. That it's, if you're there, God's going to give you some hope today. He's going to take you on to that journey of hope. That's what he's going to speak to us today. And I believe his word speaks directly to this issue of finding hope and how it's related to joy. So open up to Romans chapter 5. This is a letter that Paul wrote to the church in Rome. It's inspired by God. It's divinely inspired, and when we read these letters that are recorded in the Bible, not only is it written to that church in Rome, but I believe it's written to us as the church here in Arvada as well. So I believe what Paul says and what God says through Paul is going to speak to us this morning about hope. So we're just going to unpack this, and I believe you'll find if you're hopeless, God's going to give you some hope this morning. If you have hope and enjoy, God's going to share some things that remind you of where life is and how you can be grateful for the hope that you do have. So, check it out. Romans chapter 5, the first two verses. I'll read them to you, and then we'll unpack it a little bit. Paul says this to the church in Rome, and I believe to us as well. Therefore, Since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. I don't know about you, but sometimes in my devotionals this happens. When I read a section of scripture like that, it is hefty, and it kind of goes in my head and out the other side, and I don't even grab what's a hold there. I want to take a moment, because that was a hefty couple sentences, and we want to unpack that. So if you have your Bible, or you have your electronic Bible, and you can highlight it, I want you to underline a couple words. If you just have notes, that's okay. Just write these words down. I want you to underline or write down justified. I want you to underline peace. I want you to underline access and boast. And then I want you to circle faith, and I want you to circle Jesus Christ. So we're doing some note-taking today. So here's the deal. When Paul says these words, when we read Scripture in our devotional time, sometimes we read for distance, but we forget to read for depth. And so I want to take us to a place of depth. When he says this, since we have been justified through faith, he means something by that. Justification actually means something profound. Here's what it means. It means that we are made righteous. Did you catch that? It means that we are made righteous. See, Scripture tells us. In fact, in Romans, it tells us that all have fallen short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of God's holiness. And so, therefore, we're out of relationship with God. We're in this place of unrighteousness. It just happens. We're born into it. We've all fallen short. But through faith in Jesus Christ, something profound happens. Faith in Jesus Christ, faith in the idea that he gave his life on a cross, that he bled and died for our sins, that he resurrected and conquered sin and death. That reality means that we are now justified through that faith. We are made righteous. This is profound. This is the beginning of hope. When we're hopeless, we can remind ourselves, but God did something for me that I couldn't do for myself. I'm made righteous. This is unbelievable. And it's just there in passing. Paul just writes it in that sentence with all sorts of other great stuff, but it's huge. We are made righteous. Remind yourself, the beginning of hope is knowing that we're made righteous, experiencing that by giving our faith to Jesus Christ. Then he says this. He says, we have peace with God. We underlined peace. What does peace with God mean? This is just as profound. Imagine this. How hard is it to have peace with your spouse? Sometimes that's challenging, right? Sometimes it takes all we have to have peace with our supervisor or our employer. Sometimes it's impossible at times to have peace with our children. What about our neighbors? Like, just between humans, it's almost impossible to have peace. Imagine the beauty of having peace with the Creator. Do you understand the gravity of that? That what it means is you don't have to have bitterness towards God. It means that we don't have to have anger towards God. And we trust that he's not angry or wrathful toward us. It means having peace with God that he's not distant. He actually wants to be near to us. It means that we don't have to doubt his existence. It's true peace. When we have peace with the Creator, that's the beginning of hope. We're made righteous. But then we have peace with the Creator. This is unbelievable. I can anchor into the beginning of the journey of hope because I have peace with my Creator. This means everything in our walk, in our journey. Having peace is unbelievable. Now we underline access. Here's Paul just dropping in another profound truth. He says, you have access to God. Let's remind ourselves that in the Jewish tradition, access to God was next to impossible. In fact, as they worshiped him, they believed, and it was true, that his presence inhabited in the temple this place called the Holy of Holies. And it was a place that no mortal man could go. Even the high priest would fear to go in there and only could do it on certain occasions. And they had this huge veil that separated what wasn't the Holy of Holies from the Holy of Holies. And his presence, the presence of the God of all creation, would reside there. And it was inaccessible to the normal human being. It was inaccessible to the most priestly of priests, except for on certain occasions. But when Jesus gave his life on the cross, Scripture tells us that veil literally on earth was torn. It was shocking to the temple workers that the veil was torn. Oh my gosh, God's presence, we can't be near it. But here's what Christ did for us. Through faith, we are not only justified, made righteous. Not only do we have peace with God, but now we have access to God. We can have closeness. We can have intimacy. That in our deepest time of need, that God is right here available to us. This is profound. You can see these three things. It's the beginning of hope. And see, it all comes when we anchor ourselves to faith in Jesus Christ. That's why we circled those words. It comes by faith. For so long, we've been trying to do it on our own. Some of us today, we've been doing everything we can to appease God. And he says, listen, you can't appease me. I'm holy and perfect. But what you can do is have faith in the work of my son that was the substitution. It was the justification of your life. And now you're righteous and you can have peace with me and now access through faith in Jesus. See, this is profound. And I want to remind us, who is saying all this? This is Paul. And sometimes we forget to highlight who these writers are. Paul was a murderer. Imagine this, that a murderer is saying these things about God. In fact, Paul was overseeing the execution of people that professed to follow Jesus. He believed so much in the rightness of the Jewish tradition in that day that he rejected Jesus for a season in his life. And he was overseeing the persecution and execution of people who came into this place of justification, righteousness, peace with God. But then God got a hold of his life on the road to Damascus and said, Saul, I'm giving you a new name, it's Paul, and you're persecuting me, and I want you to stop that. I want you to have peace with me, and I'm going to use you to reach the world. So this is Paul, a murderer, recognizing these realities. This is profound. So here's the reality for us. Here's where the beginning of the journey of hope starts. I want you to write this thought on your notes. You'll see it on the screen. The journey of hope begins when the pollution of our past no longer clouds the vision of our future. Hang on to that for a second. The journey of having hope begins when the pollution of our past no longer clouds the vision of our future. Some of us this morning, our past just continues to come and grab at us. It continues to remind us of the ways we've failed. And when we hang on to that, when that pollution just clouds us, we can't see the vision of our future. It's hard to trust that God has a hope and a plan for us. It's this past is polluting. But what Paul tells us is that you've been made righteous. That past is actually past. He says that you have peace with God, that you don't have to worry, am I on good standing with God? Now listen, we're all going to sin, and we're going to continue to sin, and we need to repent and be forgiven of those ongoing sins. But the truth is, God sees us through the eyes of righteousness. When we can accept that, that's when we begin the journey of hope. Some of you, you've never given your life to Christ. And this morning you're going, man, I thought church was all about being holier than thou. I thought following Jesus was a bunch of rules and regulations. And really what it is accepting and surrendering to faith in Jesus so he can remove your past and give you a vision for your future. I'm going to ask you, have you ever surrendered fully to the work of Jesus Christ on the cross? That's the question for some of us today. To the believer, you're saying, man, I've had that hope, I experienced that, I surrendered, but I'm hopeless right now. I don't feel like that hope has carried me through the journey. I'm struggling right now. And I want to ask this question, because I've noticed this as we talked about joy. Gratitude and joy are related to hope. See, gratitude looks back with appreciation. Joy is an experience to pursue even in our present circumstances. That's what Pastor George shared with us. But hope is looking forward. So here's what I would say. Gratitude and joy are what fuel looking forward. And so I want to ask you, if you're missing hope and you're a believer, are you walking in gratitude for what God has done to make you righteous? Are we lacking gratitude that he's given us access? Are we lacking gratitude for what God has done? Sometimes that trips us up and causes us to lose hope. Now some of you, you're sitting there hearing that and going, man, don't go there, Jeff. Like, it's not a gratitude issue. You have no idea what I'm facing. It's not for lack of gratitude. It's for lack of these circumstances that are too much for me to bear. And maybe you've got that phone call from the doctor. Maybe the financial situation in your life has just blown up and it's out of control. Maybe someone you love is kind of going off the deep end and you don't know what to do about it. You're saying, Jeff, it's not gratitude. That's not the issue. I'm genuinely suffering, and I have lost hope. I think God's word speaks to that. First of all, Jesus reminds us of this, and this is going to sound discouraging at first, so be warned, be fair warned. He says this, in this world, you will have trouble. That's a promise of Jesus. Now, we hang on to his positive promises, but he says, in this world you have tribulation, trial, testing. But then here's the hope in it. He says this, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus is our hope. So how do we respond when we're suffering? How do we know that suffering sometimes is a part of our life, but he's overcome the world? How do we put that in place? Well, Paul gives us that instruction in the next verse, the next two verses, verse 3 and 4. So we'll put that on your screen. You can follow in your Bibles. And as I was digging into the scriptures these last few weeks, this is where God really began to inspire me in areas of my life where I had hopelessness. Not only do we boast in God's beginning of our journey of hope, redemption, justification, access to God. But here's what Paul says. Not only do we boast in that, but we also glory. The word for that is also rejoice. We glory or rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. Wow, this is the journey. The journey doesn't just start with Christ, but it continues with Christ, that we can rejoice in our sufferings because when we do that, it sets us on this path that produces perseverance in our lives, that gives us character, that character results in hope. This is the journey of hope. And some of you are thinking, man, I can't rejoice in sufferings. That is impossible. Some of you are at such a place of hopelessness. Again, you had to pull yourself out of bed just to get here. Well, I want to encourage you that this is the journey, and God gives us some answers for this. But I want this journey to hit home, so I pulled up a couple different versions of the same scripture. In fact, a couple weeks ago, a team of us that prepare the messages, we were talking about what is our favorite version of the Bible that we're reading right now. And here's what Pastor George said. He said, I love reading the New Living Translation, and I love reading the Amplified. I'm getting a lot out of those right now. And it just so happens those are the two I pulled. So check these out. The same verses through a little bit different lens of a different translation. Check this out from the New Living Translation. Same verses. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. They have purpose. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. It implores us to continue to rejoice in our sufferings. Now, let's go to the Amplified. It's wordy because they amplify each word. They try and dig into what the writer was really trying to say. So follow with me on this one. Moreover, let us be full of joy now. That's strong. Let us be full of joy now. Let us exult and triumph in our troubles and rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that pressure and affliction and hardship produce patient and unswerving endurance. And endurance, which is also fortitude, it develops maturity of character, which is approved faith and tried integrity. And character of this sort produces the habit of joyful and confident hope of salvation. I don't know about you, but I want the habit of praise in my life. I want the habit of joyful, confident hope of the salvation that Christ promises me every day of my life, whether I'm suffering or whether I'm not. But some of you're saying, like, I can't do this. I can't rejoice in sufferings. I want to share with you. I've been there. I've got the phone call. Mom has ovarian cancer. The tumor is the size of a cantaloupe, and there's two more. We think they're the size of oranges. I've got that phone call. I've got the phone call from Dad. I've got prostate cancer. We don't know what the future holds. I got to go in for another thing. That Jeff, that makes you 1 in 3 chance that you're going to have it as well. I've got the phone call. You're having a miscarriage. I've been there in those low places. I've got the loved one saying, man, I got a DUI last night. Like, I've been to those places, and I'm telling you, I don't feel like rejoicing in those places. I don't feel like praising. I want to hide. And I imagine some of you, you're in your place of hopelessness, the feeling you have right now is hiding. The feeling is, I don't want to be around others. The feeling is, I want to hold these feelings inside. God, like, God who? God, you seem so far. You seem so distant. How can I rejoice in you when I'm walking through this right now? I know some of you are there right now, but here's what he says. He says, rejoice in our sufferings. And so my desire is to answer that. How do we rejoice in our sufferings? And I'm going to be just totally transparent. Sometimes I don't have an answer for that. Sometimes I don't know how to do that. And some of you think, wait a second, doesn't the preacher guy have all the answers? Well, sometimes I don't have all the answers. But I know God's word has the answers. And this is one of those areas in God's word where I can't always explain it, but I have to take God's word for what it is. It's God's word. And I have to do what it says even when I don't feel like it. When I pray for someone who's in a desperate situation, they're asking to be healed. They're asking to have this removed from them. They're asking for encouragement. And sometimes, here's my prayer. God, you can heal. Your word promises we can heal. So we pray for healing. We pray for encouragement and hope. But sometimes I also pray, God, what are you trying to do in this person's life through this suffering? And let me be clear, sometimes in Scripture we see that God actually sends suffering on people for a purpose, but that is far more rare than just the reality of life is that suffering exists around us, and we're going to run into it one of these days if we haven't already. But here's what I do know, whether it's sent by God, which is rare, or it's just part of life, God does something and can do something in our suffering. Paul tells us that. He wants to produce perseverance, which produces character, which in the end of that journey produces hope. That's why he's trying to get out of us. But here's what I know. When we take his word for his word, something powerful happens. And the reality is this. When we say rejoice in our sufferings, listen, I can't rejoice in that diagnosis. I can't rejoice in that marriage that I just got that phone call of a loved one that's starting to fall apart. I can't rejoice in that actual circumstance. There's no way. But here's what I can do. I can rejoice in the one who suffered for me. Right? He is the one who bore all our sin. He has known suffering. I can rejoice in him. At least I can hang on to that. He is worthy of our rejoicing in him. He is worthy of giving our praise to him. And that's what I've got to hang on to because he's worth it. If I can just whisper, God, thank you for redemption. God, thank you for your promise that you have overcome the world so that I should take heart. Thank you. That whisper is a whisper of rejoicing. Here's what I do know. Here's what the author of Hebrews said, and here's why I know that Jesus modeled it for us. In Hebrews 12, the author of Hebrews says this. He says it to a body of believers, a group of people who are struggling, they're suffering, and he says this, let us run with perseverance. There it is again. Let us run with perseverance, the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith. Check this out. Jesus, for the joy set before him, see that connectedness? Joy set before him. He endured the cross, scorning its shame. He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We are to consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that we will not grow weary and we will not lose heart. This is how we anchor into hope on the journey when we come to the place of suffering. We turn to Jesus, who for the joy set before him, he came and made us righteous. For the joy set before him, he came and gave us access to the Father heart of God that we would know him intimately and be ministered to him personally. This is the Jesus that we can rejoice in because he experienced the suffering that we are experiencing. See, suffering produces something. It produces character that produces hope. Now, listen, I'm like you. When suffering comes, I don't want to experience it. In fact, some of us, we want to run from it. We want to hide from it. In fact, here's what Paul said. He said this in another letter to the church in Corinth. He was struggling with suffering. In fact, he had this affliction. He cried out to God three times and said, God, would you take this affliction from me? And then he records this. Here's what God said back to him personally. He said, Paul, I'm not going to take it from you. He said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. And so Paul records that in his letter to Corinth, and then he says this, he responds in a devotional, I think, he says this, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses. Think about that. God's not going to take it from me, but I'm going to boast in my suffering. Here's why. So that Christ's power may rest on me. Here's the risk we have, and I'm speaking this to myself as much as I am to you. When we try and reject suffering, when we try to hide from suffering, we are rejecting and hiding from what God wants to do in us in that moment of suffering. When we reject suffering, we lose out on the journey of hope. When we hide from suffering, we miss out on the rewards of the journey of hope. When we reject it, we reject the purpose. We reject the growth. When we reject the suffering, we're also choosing to reject the outcome that God wants to work out in our hearts through that journey of hope. And then what Paul says is, listen, when I boast in my suffering, that's where I find God's power. So when we reject the suffering, sometimes we're actually rejecting God's power to work in our lives. There's a danger to rejecting God's power. Now, I'm not saying let's seek out suffering. I'm not saying let's cause ourselves to suffer. But when we find ourselves in that place of hopelessness, God reminds us that when you bring that to me, I'm going to match it with my power in your life. Here's a point I want you to write down on your notes. We talked about the start of the journey. It's the pollution of our past is removed so that we can see our future. But here's what the journey looks like. The journey of hope is the expedition on which God gives suffering a purpose. Suffering in and of itself, I believe, doesn't have a purpose. It's kind of like mosquitoes. Why do we have mosquitoes? I have no idea. I swell up. I'm the first and last and most to get bit, and that's coming into my kids now. And I don't know the purpose of mosquito suffering. I haven't found it yet. In life, it feels like suffering has no purpose, but what God says is when you rejoice in my son and all that he's done for you, despite the suffering, that I'm going to meet you and I'm going to carry you through this journey of hope. I'm going to give you perseverance. I'm going to give you character. I'm going to give you hope at the end of this. Listen, in our congregation this morning, without pointing him out, if I look at him, I will break into tears. There's a man who lost a 17-year-old daughter 2 weeks ago. And when I called him after the memorial service to check on him, here's what he told me. I went to the memorial site, and I needed God to answer in my hopelessness. God, why would you take my daughter? She was wonderful. She was ministering your gospel. She was touching lives. And God reminded him, she belongs home with me. And he spent an hour at the graveside praising God. He felt God's presence like he never had before. And he called me and said, Jeff, it is only by the grace of God that I'm still walking at this point. But I had an hour where God just touched me and ministered to me. Here's what he did. He took his suffering. And he said, God, would you make your power at work in my life, and would you touch me and minister to me? You see, when we rejoice in him in our suffering, God gives us that purpose and we can find hope. Here's the reality. Some of you, you've never anchored into hope in your life before. You've never said, Jesus, I need you as hope. You haven't believed. You haven't put your faith in him. This morning could be that opportunity to put your faith in him. Some of you, you're believing, and yet you've come to this place of hopelessness, even though you know Jesus is real. He is your Savior. He's your King. He's your Lord. And yet, whatever circumstance you're facing, it's too much to bear, and you've come to a place of hopelessness. Here's what God would say to you. Just rejoice in me. I know it's hard, but I've done the work. I've suffered with you. You know, it was a few months ago, I was in this place internally, not circumstantially, a lot of things were going well, but internally I had come to a place of hopelessness in one area of my life. I had begun to give up on the dreams that God had given for the future of some things I could impact. I had begun to surrender to the voice of the enemy that said, there's no hope in that area of your life. I was really down about it. It was causing all sorts of stirring in my heart, and it was just, you know how this feels, that hopelessness is crushing. It's paralyzing. It's debilitating. And I'll spare you the details of the story, but all I could do was turn on my Pandora station of Christian music. And just, God, would you just inspire me and speak something to me? And song after song went by, and nothing was igniting in my heart. It was this, you know how it is. Can I really rejoice in that moment? And then all of a sudden, this one song came on. I'd never heard it before. And I'm telling you, from the first moment I heard the first note, something sparked in me. Then the lyrics started, and it talked about this idea that the shackles could be loosened, and it talked about this idea that I could come running home, and it talked about this idea that, God, you were near to me, and you tore the veil, and I'm telling you, the hair stood up on my arms, and tears came down my face, and I thought, God, you are real, and you are alive, and I'm going to place my hope in you, because I'm going to rejoice in you. I want to share that song with you this morning. I believe it's going to minister, so I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. And this song actually has a video, and I believe it's going to speak. But as your eyes are closed, I want you to go to that place you're keeping from God. You're saying, God, I'm hopeless in this area, but I don't want you to touch it. I don't fully trust you to do well with it. Gosh, God, I'm already suffering. I'm not sure I trust you to work in me in that suffering. I'd rather just hide from you. I'd rather just hide from others and try and mask it or cover it up. But God, I need you to touch it. I need you to transform it. I need you to work in me. So as you think about that suffering, this video is going to play, and I believe it's going to minister to you. It's going to open up your heart to the hope that God has for you. So let's check it out. You can watch the lyrics on the screen, but let it open your heart to hope.
Come out of hiding, you're safe here with me. There's no need to cover what I already see. You've got your reasons, but I hold your peace. You've been on lockdown and I hold the key. 'Cause I loved you before, you knew it was love, and I saw it all. Still I chose the cross, and you were the one that I was thinking of when I rose from the grave. Now rid of the shackles, my victory's yours. I tore the veil for you to come close. There's no reason to stand at a distance anymore. You're not far from home. And I'll be your lighthouse when you're lost at sea. And I will illuminate everything. No need to be frightened by intimacy.
Put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. See, hope is not a shameful thing. It's not something we need to doubt. It's something that God says, I have poured out my love into you, and therefore you can hope. And I want to encourage you this morning. We're going to worship as we end. We're going to open our altars. And I believe some of you just need to come down and say, God, I'm going to place my hope in you. But we had this word from a member in our worship community. It was really a word of the Lord that came to us yesterday. And they sent it in and said, this is for the worship team, but maybe for the congregation. I believe it's for us today. Here's what the word said. This was what was sent in. I felt the Lord saying this word on my heart earlier, and I wanted to share it with you, whether it's for the worship team or the whole congregation. It's an encouragement to those who are beaten down, seemingly stuck in a painful place today, who feel rendered silent in worship by life's pain. Here's what God would say to you. Come. come and worship, especially now in your place of pain. The word goes on to say this personally. This person said, I've battled most of my life with depression. I've often found the last thing I felt like doing was worshiping. But in this painful place, God's continually called me out to do just that. And I've experienced him more amazingly than in the hard seasons than in the easy seasons when everything's nicely pieced together, whole and happy. So the word continues, in our brokenness, our worship is amplified in the heavens. It's more vibrant and beautiful because we're tender, we're worn raw. In our pain, we're more translucent with our Savior. We're broken down there. Therefore, we're infinitely more thirsty for him. So here's the call from God's voice to us. The word says this, open your mouth and worship to him. Open your broken heart to his healing touch. Even your broken offering is priceless to him. Would you stand?
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.